ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौभुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं चैव ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। Om. We continue towards the end of the Ashvamedha Parva. We had just concluded the Anugita. I won't summarize it any further, except to remind you that it took place when Sri Krishna and Arjuna were together at the palace, the Pandava palace in Hastinapur, after the war had concluded. So we can presume that in the chapter, we're skipping a number of chapters here, in the chapters we've skipped over, Sri Krishna and Arjuna finished their, finished hanging out, as we would say in this country. And then Krishna left the palace to go home. For Krishna, home was Dwaraka, so some distance to the west from Hastinapura. So en route to Dwaraka, Sri Krishna has a fateful encounter with a pious Brahmana. The name of that pious Brahmana is Uttanka. And their encounter forms the basis for this next section. It continues with the Rishi Vaishampayana's narration. Vaishampayana vacha, Vaishampayana vacha, Saprayato mahabahuhu, Saprayato mahabahuhu, Sameshu marudhanvasu, Sameshu marudhanvasu, Dadarshatamunishreshtam, Uttankamamitaujasam. Rishi Vaishampayana narrating all of this to King Janamejaya in the outer story. He narrates Sri Krishna, Sri Krishna, who is that? Mahabahuhu, the mighty one, Prayataha, left and traveled. Traveled over Maru Dhanvasu, desert, Sameshu, flat. So flat, dry land. So he traveled over flat, dry lands, having left Hastinapur, en route to Dwaraka, and Atta, then, breaking apart the words, Dadarsha, Atta. Atta, then, Dadarsha, he saw, who did he see? Drop down a line, Uttankam, this great, famous Brahmana, famous for being, is kind of held up as being the perfect disciple in some texts. And Uttanka here is called Muni Shreshtam, the best of sages, and he is also Amita Aujasam, one whose Aujasa, power, is Amita, immeasurable, so one of limitless power. Sri Krishna met him, and Saprashta Kushalam Tena, Sampujya Madhusudanam, Sampujya Madhusudanam, Uttanko Brahmana Shreshtas, Uttanko Brahmana Shreshtas, Tata Paprachamadhavam, Tata Paprachamadhavam. Excuse me. Saha, he, Uttanka, was Prashtaha, was asked. Asked by whom? Tena, by him, by Sri Krishna. Uttanka was asked about Kushalam, about his welfare. Like we say, how are you? This is how you say it in Sanskrit. He was asked about his welfare. Krishna says, "How are you?" And then Uttanka, Sampujya, having worshipped, having honored, having some sign of respect, Madhusudanam, to Sri Krishna. Then Uttankaha, in the third line, who is Brahmana Shreshtaha, the best of Brahmanas, Tataha thereafter, Prapracha, he asked, Madhavam, Sri Krishna. So what did Uttanka ask Sri Krishna? Uttanka uvacha, Uttanka uvacha, kachit chaure twaya gatva, kachit chaure twaya gatva, guru pandava satmatata, guru pandava satmatata, kritam saubhatra machalam, kritam saubhatra machalam, tanme vyakhyatu marhasi, tanme vyakhyatu marhasi. Kachit here introduces the question. It's like a Sanskrit question mark. Shaure, and breaking the words apart. Kachit, followed by Shaure. Shaura is a mighty one. Shaure, O mighty Krishna. Gatwa, having gone where? Kuru Pandava Sadma Tat. Having gone to Tat, that Kuru Pandava Sadma. Sadma means palace. So having gone to that palace of the Kauravas and Pandavas, Gatwa, having gone there by you, having gone there, that Twaya actually connects way down below to Kritam in the third line. Twaya Kritam, by you was it done. And Sanskrit loves its passive voice. We don't use it that much. We don't use it like that in English. But his question then is, Kritam Twaya, have you done this? Done what? Saubhatram Achalam. Have you, and we'll include an extra couple of words, have you established the Pandavas and Kauravas, who you met at their palace? Have you kritam, have you made them saubhatram? Saubhatram in English, maybe brotherly love. Saubhatram. Achalam, unshakable. Have you established the Kauravas and Pandavas in unshakable brotherly love? Now, they've just fought this horrible battle, and in all honesty, most of the Pandavas and Kauravas died. There aren't many left. So those few that survived the battle apparently were at the palace when Sri Krishna and Arjuna were talking. So this leads to Uttanka's questions. You know, when you were there at the palace, did you talk to the Pandavas and Kauravas, and did you find a way to reconcile their differences, as we say? Have you established them in brotherly love, is the exact words of Uttanka. And Uttanka says, Tanme tat, that may, unto me, vyakhyatu marhasi, please tell me that. You please tell me whether, kachit, and there's a question, please tell me whether or not you were able to establish friendship and brotherly love between the Pandavas and Kauravas when you visited them in their palace. And what ensues is a little surprising. Vasudeva uvacha, Vasudeva uvacha, krito yatno maya brahman, krito yatno maya brahman, saubhratre kauravan prati, saubhratre kauravan prati, nacha shakyanta sandhatum, nacha shakyanta sandhatum, te dharma ruchayo maya, Te dharma ruchayo maya. Te and the word, the between te and dharma, the letter dropped. Te adharma ruchayaha. Those who are committed to adharma. We'll come to that in a moment. So Sri Krishna responds to Uttanka's question, and he says, Brahman, O Brahmana, O Uttanka, maya, by me, yatnaha kritaha. I'm breaking the sandhis. Yatnaha, effort, kritaha was made by me. In English, we'd simply say, I tried. Effort was made by me. I tried, Sri Krishna says. I tried what? Saubhratre. In friendship, in brotherly love, I tried to establish Kauravan Prati. I tried to establish the Kauravas in a state of friendship. Notice he says Kauravan. He doesn't say Pandavan. So the Pandavas apparently hold no enmity towards the Kauravas. Two reasons, I suppose. One is they're the victors, after all. But more significantly, the Pauravas represent dharma, and the Kauravas represent adharma. And the whole battle was brought about through the adharmic behavior and thinking of the Kauravas. So the mental problem, you remember the whole big story of the Mahabharata. The whole thing started with Duryodhana's envy of the Pandavas. So even as a child, Duryodhana hated the Pandavas. So the enmity from childhood onwards was with the Kauravas, not with the Pandavas. In fact, the Pandavas tried to reconcile a number of times, but were unable to do so. Krishna knows all this. So he didn't have to try to get the Pandavas to be loving towards her brothers. Pandavas were ready, the ones who survived. Certainly the five surviving brothers were ready to be friends with the surviving Kauravas. But the surviving Kauravas apparently were not ready to reconcile, even after the terrible war. They weren't ready to reconcile. Of course, they're also the losers, so they may have also been bitter and angry because of the loss. So, Sri Krishna admits that he tried Saubhratre Kauravan Prati. He tried to establish the Kauravas in a state of friendliness and brotherly love with the Pandavas. But, Nacha Ashakyanta sandhatum, that word te we have to include. The Kauravas, ashakyanta, past tense. They were not able, sandhatum, to do so, to join in. Sandhatum literally means they weren't able to join. So I suppose the meaning here is they weren't able to join in a state of friendship with the Kauravas, with the Pandavas, sorry. So te, those Kauravas, even after Krishna had talked to them and encouraged them and taught them, but te, those Kauravas, na ashakyanta, were not able. Sandhatum, to join with the Pandavas in brotherly love. Why? Adharma, that's where that dropped. Adharma ruchayaha. They were ruchayaha, they were fond of, they were committed to adharma. They had lived, I suppose they lived their lives with this enmity towards the Pandavas. It's not going to, if it hasn't gone away by now, it's not going to go away. The word maya really belongs in the first half of the verse, that last word. So, Sri Krishna says, I tried. I wasn't able to change their minds. They were not able to come to a state of brotherly love. Tatastena dhanam praptaha. Tatastena dhanam praptaha. Sarve sasuta bandhavaha. Sarve sasuta bandhavaha. Nadishtam abhyatikrantum. Nadishtam abhyatikrantum. Shakyam buddhya balena va. Shakyam buddhya balena va. Before we see this verse, just a comment about the Mahabharata as a whole. We've seen from time to time the topic turns to the doctrine of karma. Wherever they can, they end up talking about the doctrine of karma. You may have heard me note before that the doctrine of karma is not taught specifically in any text, in any scripture, in any one place. There is no definitive scripture that describes and defines the doctrine of karma. Instead, the doctrine of karma is taught especially in the Mahabharata, but not only in the Mahabharata. And it's taught in the midst of all these stories. So in the midst of stories, somebody is doing something to somebody else, and that gives an opening for a discussion about the doctrine of karma. Why is somebody doing that to somebody else? So again and again, the discussion turns to the doctrine of karma. And here also, so here Sri Krishna is replying to Uttanka's question, and Sri Krishna's discussion turns, as I just said, to the doctrine of karma. Let's see that. Tataha, thereafter, so after Sri Krishna says, I tried, I failed, I wasn't able to establish the Kauravas in a state of brotherly love towards the Pandavas, tataha, thereafter, thereafter means after Sri Krishna talked to them in the palace when he had been visiting Arjuna. Tataha, after talking to them, they, sarve, in the next line, all of them, he is referring to all of the Pandavas. What about the Pandavas? Nidharam praptaha. They attained death. They all died. What? We're talking about the few Kauravas who somehow survived the terrible battle and ended up back at the palace after the battle was complete. But now, after some time, and after Sri Krishna had talked to them, sarve, all of them, nidhanam praptaha, they all died, sa suta bandhavaha, along with their suttas, along with their offspring, sons, and bandhavaha, relatives. So all the Pandavas who fought on a battlefield, along with their sons and relatives, they all died. Of course, we would ask, why? I mean, why would they, you know, they survived the battle, why did they die? Of course, some of them, no doubt, were wounded as a result of the battle. But that's, Sri Krishna gives another reason. Yes, some of them might have been wounded and died but of their wounds. But notice Sri Krishna's explanation here. Nadishtam abhyatikrantum shakyam. Na shakyam. It is not possible. And krantum is to cross, to go against. Kranta is to cross. Atikranta, to go again, to go beyond. Abhyatikrantum, to circumvent. How's that for a translation? Abhyatikrantum. So the nashakyam, it is not possible, abhyatikrantum, to circumvent. For my translation here is evade. That's fine. It is not possible to circumvade or evade dishtam. Dishtam literally means that which is ordained. And you remember from our prior extensive discussions about the doctrine of karma in our prior classes on the Mahabharata. We saw that word dishtam used again and again for karma pala. Dishta means that which is ordained, but it's not ordained by Ishvara. And it's not, what happens is not, this is one of the most common misunderstandings of Ishvara and the doctrine of karma. When we say that everything is in God's hands, everything is ordained by Ishvara, these statements have to be properly understood. Yes, it's true. Everything is in God's hands. Everything is ordained by Ishvara. But it is not the case that Ishvara has his own agenda. Ishvara doesn't decide what he's going to do. He doesn't decide who he is going to bless with good karma. He doesn't decide who's going to get bad karma. He doesn't get up in the morning and decide what he's going to do like you and I. We get up in the morning and decide. Ishvara does not have human free will because Ishvara is not a human being. And we often overlook this point. And we imagine Ishvara to be like us. We have free will. We decide what we're going to do. Ishvara is not a human being. Ishvara does not have this human kind of free will. Then what does it mean when we say everything is in Ishvara's hands? Ishvara ordains everything. Many of you remember this discussion and can answer the question, and that is, we understand Ishvara to be the karma pala data. We've used this expression in many prior classes. Karma pala data. Data, the giver of karma pala. Ishvara is the giver of karma pala for your prior good deeds. Ishvara gives you the good results you deserve. For your prior adharmic deeds, Ishvara gives you the papa karma, the bad results that you deserve. Ishvara doesn't decide what to give you. In fact, you decide what you're going to get through your actions in this life and in prior lives. In this life and prior lives, you decide to do dharmic actions or adharmic actions. And it is your decisions that culminate in your receiving good and bad karma. So you decide what kind of karma you're going to get in the future. You don't decide when, however. You decide if you're going to get papa karmas or punya karmas by your bad and good deeds. But it's Ishvara who, according to the laws of nature, laws of karma, Ishvara decides apparently the time. Ishvara can't even say deciding the time. Ishvara is the intelligence behind the laws of cause and effect that cause past karmas to fructify. When does a past karma fructify? It depends. When does a fruit ripen? Well, it depends on the fruit. Some ripen more quickly, some take longer to ripen. When will your past karmas fructify? It depends. And that matter of time it takes for your past karmas to fructify is determined by this intelligent order, Ishvara's intelligent order. In this way, we understand Ishvara to be the karma pala data, the one who gives you the fruits of actions you decided to do earlier in this life or in past lives. In that sense, Ishvara is the ordainer. Or we say that everything comes from Ishvara's hands. But again, Ishvara uses his hands. Ishvara uses, figuratively speaking, Ishvara not being a human being, doesn't have a pair of human hands. So it's a figure of speech. Ishvara then is that intelligent cosmic being whose intelligence determines when and how your past karmas eventually fructify. So we get the fruits of our own actions from Ishvara's hands, so to speak, through Ishvara's agency as that cosmic intelligence. Sorry for the complex language. So all of that is to explain this word, nishtam. Ishvara is the ordainer, but not in the sense that he decides. Ishvara is the ordainer in the sense that he is the one that ensures that for your past good actions, you get good results, and for your past harmful actions, adharmic actions, you get undesirable results. Ishvara is the ordainer in that manner. He's not an independent, willful agent with human free will. So, all of that is to explain this word dishtam, which is a favorite word in the Mahabharata for karma pala. So, he says, coming back to the verse now, nashakyam, it is not possible, abhyatikrantum, to avoid, to evade, dishtam, what has been ordained, that ordained by karma. It is not possible to avoid what has been ordained by karma. Those Kauravas on the battlefield committed a lot of papa karma. And the papa karma they committed is going to fructify. When? Well, according to the Mahabharata story, it apparently fructified at that time. So after the war was over, the surviving Kauravas went back to the palace, but we can say their karma caught up to them, so to speak, and they all perished shortly after the battle, and they perished as a result of the papa karmas they had committed, presumably, on the battlefield. So Sri Krishna is now explaining, why did they all die? They could have been wounded, but according to Sri Krishna, they died because their papa karma caught up with them, so to speak. And Sri Krishna then, he adds some further teaching. Again, he always using stories as an opportunity to teach something further about the doctrine of karma. So Sri Krishna says it's not possible to avoid what has been ordained by karma. It's not possible to avoid buddhya through your intelligence, balena va, or through strength. So if you balena through strength, through force, if you are karmically determined to undergo some suffering in this life at this time because of past bad karmas fructifying, no matter what kind of forceful effort, bala, no matter what kind of forceful effort you exert, it's of no use. Every cause must yield its effect, and no amount of force is going to prevent a cause from eventually yielding its effect. This is the basic doctrine of karma. So balena, through the use of force, buddhyava, or through the use of intelligence, you can't outsmart karma. It's going to catch up to you one way or another. So balena, you can't outrun karma. Buddhya, and you can't outsmart karma. Karma will fructify, and you will be blessed by the fructifying results of your good deeds, and you will suffer as a result of the fructifying results of your adharmic actions. A few more comments here before we continue, since it's an interesting verse and an interesting observation about the doctrine of karma. One observation here is that Sri Krishna, remember, is an avatara, is a manifestation of Ishvara. So here is a situation in which Ishvara is trying to bestow blessings on these Kauravas. That's what it is, right? So Krishna is intervening. Krishna is trying to help them, which means Ishvara is prepared to offer blessings to these Kauravas. And what is the outcome? They refuse. Ishvara can only bless someone if that person accepts the blessings. And ironically, a good many people are not open to receiving Ishvara's blessings. Their hearts are hardened. Their minds are perverted. One with a hardened heart and a perverted mind is not open to receive Ishvara's blessings. We say Ishvara is Sarva Shaktiman, all-powerful, almighty. But almighty, all-powerful Ishvara cannot bend the laws of nature that he himself has established. Ishvara created the universe with its natural law, with laws like gravity. Ishvara created gravity so things will fall down. So Ishvara can't decide one day, oh, I'm going to make something go up. To make something go up would be to violate his very own law. And if Ishvara starts violating his laws, then we'll have to call him fickle, because he's changing his mind. First he decides gravity should pull down, then he decides gravity should make things go up. We can't live in a world where Ishvara, the ordainer, the giver of laws, is fickle. Ishvara is not fickle. The laws that are established are eternal. So in that way, even though Ishvara is Sarva Shaktiman, all-powerful, what is the word? Omnipotent. How's that fancy word? Even though Ishvara is omnipotent, he cannot transgress the very laws of nature and laws of karma that he himself established. For this reason, even if he is ready to bless someone, ready to bless someone with the fruits of their past good karmas, someone whose heart is hardened and whose mind is perverse, good karmas may not fructify for them. Because the fructification of good karmas is how Ishvara blesses us. Ishvara blesses us by giving us the fruits of our past good karmas. But this verse demonstrates that those karmas can only fructify in a suitable situation. And if the situation is such that minds are perverted, hearts are hardened, etc., then that those blessings will not come. Okay. So this is then Sri Krishna's explanation for what happened back at the palace. He tried to establish friendship and brotherly love between Kauravas and Pandavas. He failed. And then worse than that, the Kauravas, the karma caught up with them. Their bad karmas caught up with them. And remaining Kauravas all died. Then, it yukta vachane krishne, it yukta vachane krishne, brasham krodha samanvitaha, brasham krodha samanvitaha, uttanka pratyuvachainam, uttanka pratyuvachainam, roshad utpalya lochane, roshad utpalya lochane. Iti, thus, ukta vachane krishne, when Uttanka had heard the words, ukta vachana, When the words were heard, whose words were heard? Sri Krishna's. When the words of Sri Krishna were heard by Uttanka, then Uttanka, you see Uttanka's name in the beginning of the third line. Uttanka, what happened to Uttanka? Krodha samanvitaha. He became samanvita, filled with krodha, anger. Brisham, extremely. He became extremely angry after hearing Sri Krishna's words. And pratyuvacha, he responded to Sri Krishna, enam, with the following statement. He said this, pratyuvacha, he said in reply to Sri Krishna. He said in reply, roshat utpalya lochane. He said with his lochane, with his two eyes, utpalya, wide due to roshat, due to anger. His eyes widened with anger. My translation is a little nicer, with eyes full of rage. Uttanka replied this. So we have to find out now, why is Uttanka so angry at Sri Krishna? Let's see a little further. Uttanka uvacha, Uttanka uvacha, yasma chaktena te Krishna, yasma chaktena te Krishna, natratha kuru pandavaha, natratha kuru pandavaha, sambandhina priyasthasmat, sambandhina priyasthasmat, sandhi. Chapsyeham tvama samshayam, chapsyeham tvama samshayam. Yasmat, because, te, for you, O Krishna, because te, for you, na shaktena, because you did not have the power. Na te shaktena, because you did not have the power. The power for what? Kuru pandavaha trataha. You didn't have the power to help the Pandavas and Kauravas. Trata literally means crossing, to cross over. One who is crossed over is trata. So I suppose here, how to interpret it here, maybe crossed over battle. So they finished the battle, they crossed over the battlefield, they completed fighting the battle. So the Kurus and Pandavas, trataha, after having fought the battle, you were not, na shaktena te, O Krishna, you were not able to do what? Able to make those Pandavas and Kauravas priyaha, loving, sambandhinaha, relatives. You were not able to make them loving relatives. You were not able to establish them in brotherly love. So this is why Uttanka is angry. He expected that Sri Krishna should definitely have been able to establish the Pandavas and Kauravas in this brotherly love. So Uttanka, as this pious Brahmana, probably didn't know, in fact, did not know at this point in time, he didn't know that Sri Krishna was an avatara. He did know that Sri Krishna was a relative of the Pandavas and Kauravas. And he was a very mature and wise relative. And he should, in Uttanka's mind, Sri Krishna had a moral responsibility to solve this problem between the Pandavas and Kauravas. It was in Uttanka's mind, it was Sri Krishna's responsibility to resolve this family rift. And Uttanka observed that Sri Krishna was unable to resolve this family rift. And Uttanka is angry because Uttanka, as this pious Brahmin, is committed to Dharma. And his family rift is a matter of adharma. So Uttanka, I guess, is a little over the top in his expectations. He wants everyone to be dharmic. And he's extremely upset now that Sri Krishna could not win the Kauravas over to the side of dharma. So yasmat, in the first line, because Sri Krishna was unable to establish the Kauravas and Pandavas in a state of brotherly love. End of the third line, tasmat, therefore, and this is the words, the sandhi. Sandhi means these changes of spelling when words come together. Breaking the words apart, tasmat shapsye, not chapsye, but when you break the words apart, shapsye. Shap is the root to curse. Tasmat, therefore, aham, I, shapsye, I will curse tvam, you. Boy, Uttanka's really angry. So he says, aham, shapsye, I will curse tvam, you. Asamshayam, certainly, absolutely, I'm going to curse you. That's how angry Uttanka is. Now, let's see. It'd be interesting to see how does Sri Krishna handle this. Is a tricky situation. How does Sri Krishna handle this? Vasudeva uvacha, Vasudeva uvacha, shunu me vistare nedam, shunu me vistare nedam, yadvakshe bhrigunandana, yadvakshe bhrigunandana, krahana nunayam chapi, krahana nunayam chapi, tapasvi hyasi bhargava, tapasvi hyasi bhargava. So Sri Krishna tells the angered Uttanka, he says, shrinu me, listen to me. Listen to me, vistarena. Listen to, vistarena idam. Shrinu idam. Listen, that idam is at the end of the first line, hidden. Vistarena idam. Shrinu, listen, idam to this, vistarena completely, me, this which I'm going to tell you, yad vakshye, what I am about to tell you, Sri Krishna says, listen to this completely. Bhrigu nandana, he addresses Uttanka as the one who is fond of to Bhrigu. I think Uttanka is in Bhrigu's lineage. So, Bhrigu nandana, o Uttanka, listen carefully, listen completely to what I'm about to tell you. Third line, cha api, also. Grahana anunayam. I'm smiling because Sri Krishna here is, he is so politically correct. He has really good people skills because he says, cha api, also, anunayam grahana. Anunayam could be translated here as an apology. Grahana, accept. Please, so, cha api, also, grahana, please accept anunayam, my apology. So here, Bhrigu is angry because of Sri Krishna's failure to reconcile Pandavas and Kauravas. Sri Krishna knows that there's nothing more than that could have been done, but yet Sri Krishna wants to assuage Uttanka's anger. So he says, please accept my apology. why? Tapasvi he. That word he. Because, in words run together again, he, asi. Because you are tapasvi, a great ascetic. Bhargava, addressing him as one in the lineage of Bhargava, you are a great ascetic. You are very pious. Therefore, please accept my apology. I said that Sri Krishna had really good people skills because he has no moral responsibility to apologize. He didn't do anything wrong. Yet, he says, Grihana Anunayam, accept my apology. He's saying this because it will help Uttanka cool off. And if you say, but Sri Krishna didn't do anything wrong that he needs to apologize for, you know, this is an issue of pride that I think some people have. Out of pride, they're reluctant to apologize. That's a matter of pride. Who cares? Yeah. If an apology will make someone feel better, what do you have to lose? You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. What do you, in fact, by apology, people say, but I didn't do anything wrong. So what? Apologize anyway. You have everything to gain, nothing to lose. You become the bigger person. You become the big-hearted one in that transaction. So to fail to apologize out of pride because you didn't do anything wrong is just not helpful. If an apology will make someone relax and feel better, fine. Apologize. Even if you didn't do anything wrong, do what you can to make the other person feel better. That's exactly what Sri Krishna does here. So very good people skills, as we call them today. Shrutva tvametad adhyatmam, shrutva tvametad adhyatmam, munshye tha shapam adyavai, munshye tha shapam adyavai, nachate tapaso nasham, nachate tapaso nasham, icchami japatam vara, icchami japatam vara. This is also very surprising. So Sri Krishna says, Tvam, in the middle of the first line, you, Shrutva, having listened, having heard, Etat Adhyatmam, Etat, having heard this, Adhyatmam means about me, about Atma, about oneself. So listen to this, having heard what I'm about to tell you, Adhyatmam, about myself, Sri Krishna says. Having listened to this, what I'm about to say about myself, then, you see the word adya, the end of the second line, adya, then, munchetaha shapam, then, go ahead and cast your curse. In Sanskrit, you say free a curse or release a curse. In English, we would say cast your curse. So first, having listened to what I'm about to tell you about me, listen first, and then if you want, go ahead and curse me. Why in the world would Sri Krishna tell Uttanka to go ahead and curse him? He explains that in the last half. He says, Nachate tapasaha nasham icchami. Na icchami. I do not want to cause the nasham, the destruction of te tapasaha, of your austerities. That's, I'm giving you a literal translation first. I do not want to cause the loss of your austerities. What he means is, Uttanka gained this power to curse as a result of his austerities. And in Sri Krishna's mind, Uttanka worked very hard to gain that power of being able to curse someone. And Sri Krishna, out of concern for Uttanka, is very almost humorous, out of concern for Uttanka, doesn't want to obstruct his use of spiritual powers he worked very hard to get. And, you know, of course, Sri Krishna has nothing to lose as an avatara. He knows that the curse can't truly hurt him. But again, it shows a certain sensitivity to the emotional state of another person. So in a prior verse, he apologized. Here he is saying, go ahead and use your power of cursing because it'll make you feel better. As Sri Krishna won't say that, but it must be in the back of his mind. So again, he wants to assuage Uttanka's anger and, you know, to help someone overcome anger is one of the most loving things we can do. Oftentimes when somebody is angry, we run out of the room. We run the other way. Because dealing with anger is unpleasant. It's difficult. That's absolutely true. But then compassion is to help a person, is to relieve a person of their suffering. And it certainly is true that somebody who is angry is suffering. You know that very well. When you get angry, you suffer. You know, you're angry at so-and-so, but interestingly enough, your anger doesn't make so-and-so suffer. Your anger makes you suffer. That anger is like a fire that burns in your gut. Your anger doesn't hurt the person you're angry at. That anger hurts you. It burns you. It makes you suffer. So here Sri Krishna sees that Uttanka is suffering. He's suffering because of his anger. And Sri Krishna is very alert to Uttanka's anger. And here in two verses in a row, he does something to assuage Uttanka's anger for the sake of relieving suffering. Very nice, right? Like he's a good, Sri Krishna is a good role model for us here in how to deal with somebody's anger. So he says, and just to paraphrase the verse, so first listen to what I'm about to tell you about myself, and then go ahead and cast your curse upon me. Why? Because I don't want to deny you the opportunity of using the spiritual power that you've gained with so much work over a period of many years. And he concludes by addressing Uttanka, he addresses Japatam Vara, O best of meditators, we'll translate that, O best of meditators, O holy Uttanka, go ahead and listen first, and then go ahead and curse me. Listen to what? We'll just see, just get started with Sri Krishna's, what Sri Krishna is going to say about himself is a little extensive. We'll just begin. Mayi sarvani bhutani, mayi sarvani bhutani, sarva bhuteshu chapyaham, sarva bhuteshu chapyaham, stita hit yavijanihi, stita hit yavijanihi, mate bhuratra samshayaha, mate bhuratra samshayaha. The first half sounds like Bhagavad Gita, if you recognize the lines. Sri Krishna, in a prior verse, he said, listen to what I'm going to say, adhyatmam, about myself. And Sri Krishna plunges right in. He says, mayi, in me, Sarvani Bhutani are all beings. All beings exist within me. Prior to this statement, Uttanka just thinks of Krishna as the king of Dwaraka and a relative of the Pandavas and Kauravas. But now Sri Krishna is giving him a very different perspective. So Sri Krishna begins, Mayi, in me, in Sri Krishna, Sarvani Bhutani, all beings exist. Sarva Bhuteshu Cha Api Aham, Cha Api, and also Aham, I, Sarva Bhuteshu, in all beings, drop down a line, Stitaha, I am established. All beings exist within me, and Aham, I, Sarva Bhuteshu Stitaha, I abide in all beings. We've seen this teaching in Bhagavad Gita's chapters 7 and 9. We saw it very elaborately. Here it's coming back in a beautiful fashion, here towards the end of the Mahabharata. Iti, thus, abhijanihi, thus you should understand. Abhijanihi, understand this. Te ma bhut atra samshayaha. Te, for you, samshayaha, any doubt about this matter. Ma bhut atra, with regard to this, ma bhut, for our Sanskrit students, there's our injunctive, that the in fact, that avagraha before bhut shouldn't be there, because it is an injunctive. The of abhut dropped due to the special rule for injunctives. I'm boring you with Sanskrit, but only if you're an advanced, and not just Sanskrit, this is an advanced Sanskrit topic, that the abhut is an aorist with an augment, and the augment drops in this injunctive usage with the ma. Anyway, if you don't understand this, you're lucky, because it's a very complicated topic. So, ma te bhut atra samshaya, have no doubt about this. Abhijanihi, you should understand. Understand what? All beings exist within me, and I exist within all beings. Here Sri Krishna speaks about himself as Ishvara, the God of the cosmos. And he continues, we'll begin with this in our next class and see how Sri Krishna describes himself as Ishvara. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah. Sarve santu niramayaha, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kashchid dukha bhag bhavet, asato ma sadgamaya, tamaso ma jyotirgamaya, mrityor ma amritangamaya. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om Tat Sat.